Welcome to How to Tour Italy with your host, Anthony Capozzoli. Anthony's passion for Italy is contagious. His dream is to bring Italy to life for people everywhere and to help them embrace the wonderful Italian lifestyle at home. Now, with How to Tour Italy, let's welcome travel expert, guidebook author, photographer, and radio host, Anthony Capozzoli.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today, we'll be talking about St. Mark's Square, the Rialto Bridge, and chowing in Venice. We'll have a couple of wonderful guests. We have Ruth Edenbaum from the book Chow Venice. It's a wonderful book that talks about the delightful dishes and restaurants in Osteria, and we'll learn what they're actually called in Venice. They're not called Osteria, written by her and her partner, and they are wonderful, wonderful tips. We'll be talking about that in depth. She'll be on the show in the middle half, or the middle section, rather. And then, of course, we have Janice Mancuso talking about wonderful Italian contributions to America. So today's show is completely dedicated to Venice, the wonderful city of Italy, nicknamed La Serenissima, which means the most serene one, and is truly one of Italy's most beautiful and visited cities. Many people, unfortunately, only spend one day here, but there is really so much to see. Including the wonderful city of Venice itself, it's worth much more than a single day. Venice, like Siena, I mentioned earlier, is a totally different city during the day than it is at night. It is the home of the Doge, Titian, Bellini, the Bellini cocktail, the artist Carpaccio, the dish Carpaccio. And who can forget about the wonderful gondolas, St. Mark's Square, the Doge Palace, those pigeons that land on your arm in St. Mark's Square with a little coaxing from a bag of seeds, purchased right there on the square. I think the key to Venice is getting lost and knowing that you're only a few twists and turns away at any moment from the very popular and overcrowded center, which is St. Mark's Square. It's key here, though, to not to walk, but to run away from the center, I think, and to drink in the beauty of Venice. There's a photo opportunity around every corner, and there's so much more to see than what what the postcards will lead you to believe, which is truly the center, St. Mark's, the Grand Canal, Rialto Bridge. And those things are beautiful, beautiful sights, and I think that they are worth their weight in gold and something that you should spend some time doing. But I think to get the most of the soul of La Serenissima, you really have to engage Venice as you're kind of doing a dance. And then in order to do that, you have to find the little nooks and the crannies and the hidden corners and embrace the city for what it is. And it is a beautiful, beautiful place. Something that some people may know, the great lover Casanova comes from Venice. He was actually jailed there. Well, he was born there, raised there, was jailed there, had to flee. And we'll get into a little bit about him in today's show, but there's not too much. We're going to be really focusing on traveling Venice, understanding the sights, embracing all the great things that are there, and understanding a bit about the dialect, because things are a little bit different in the way things are spoken, the dialect that they use, being that Venice is so close to the North Austria. It's got a lot of influence from the Venetian Republic back in the olden days of the Venetian Republic. So we'll be talking a little bit about what things are called and how the city was organized and why it is such a famous and beautiful city and even why it was formed. First of all, let's start off with a few tidbits, I think, about Venice to get us started. First off, the Doge. What is that? It's spelled like dog with an E, Doge, and it is the Doge was the elected ruler of the Venetian Republic. They served a lifetime when they were elected, so they didn't just have a 4-year term, they served a lifelong term. Venice is overbearing and rather overpowered, but delicately so, because it's a beautiful, beautiful architectural style, the Byzantine style. It's dripping from almost every building in Venice. It was a very, very wealthy naval powerhouse. They controlled the trade routes between the east, Near East, and the west. So that's where they got all their money, through the trade routes, the spices and things. And unfortunately, that was their Achilles heel, that once other powerful nations had naval a naval base and a naval powerhouse, they started doing oceanic routes and took the kind of the power away from Venice. And with the loss of power and control of those trade routes, a lot of the money went away. Just like Rome, the power of Rome was its aqueducts and roads, and that was their Achilles heel. All the barbarians had to do to conquer Rome was to knock down the aqueducts, which stopped the water supply. Moving on. St. Mark is the patron saint of Venice, and we'll talk a little bit about a couple of stories about St. Mark and why he is the patron saint. The piazzas that you see throughout Venice, where you see a well, they were used to collect rainwater, and the pavements were around the well, slant slightly towards the well itself. They capture the water. They have built-in filtration systems with sand and charcoal and things that clean the water. And even the gutters throughout the city of Venice and the buildings in Venice, they collect the rainwater. It does never just goes into a drain and goes away or into the sea. It gets collected and taken into the well for people to drink. Because keep in mind, they're in the saltwater lagoon. They need clean drinking water, and they take advantage of every single opportunity to capture it. Also, St. Mark's Square, the Basilica of St. Mark, has over 43,000 square feet of mosaics. I want you to keep in mind what that means. Think about how big your house is in terms of square footage. And most of us, I guess a couple thousand square feet, 43,000 square feet of just mosaics. It's truly amazing, and they are beautiful mosaics done in gold and precious gems and the colors, and it's amazing. Now, in order to get those 43,000 square feet of mosaics in and around the Basilica of St. Mark, it's very dark inside because many windows were closed up to add more mosaic, space to add the mosaics. So even during the middle of the day, you oftentimes have to light a candle or lights to see things. So you need a candle inside St. Mark's Basilica. But it's truly amazing. I think it's probably the most impressive collection of mosaics that I've seen in Italy. Now, the dialect in Venice is a little bit different. The canals are called Rio, R-I-O. The osteria, rather the restaurants, throughout Italy, the osteria is an osteria. But in Venice, it's called Baccaro, B-A-C-A-R-O, Baccaro. So it's either Baccaro or Baccaro, and we'll ask Ruth specifically how to better pronounce it, tied into the Venetian dialect, which I don't unfortunately speak very well. The snacks are called cicchetti. So that was the way I'd like to maybe best position that to give you an understanding of what that is. Think of Spanish tapas. The cicchetti in Venice are where you go. You have a nice, wonderful glass of wine, and you have an assortment of different types of snacks and dishes that you get to pick from, put on your plate, and enjoy. And they truly are wonderful. And believe it or not, they aren't always seafood. You'd think that they would be, but they're not always. That's not always the case. They use rice quite a bit. And they have wheat-based pastas and different kinds of dishes that are wonderful. And they've got a good mix of different kinds of flavors. And we'll get into that a little bit more. And by the way, there's a really, 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 really good cookbook. One of my favorites. It's called Rustico. And it is a cookbook dedicated to the regional cuisine throughout Italy. As you know, there are 20 different regions of Italy. This is written by Nicole Negron, and she does a wonderful job. It's very, very well organized. She takes not only her stories about traveling Italy, understanding and embracing the culture. She is Italian. She was born, I believe, in Milan. She moved to Montreal, Canada, so she speaks Italian, English, and French. And she and her husband went to Italy. She is a chef by trade and by education, along with some other things. But anyway, the point is that her focus, I think, on the foods that she talks about for Venice are outstanding. That, tied with Ruth's book for Ciao Venice, are a great way to embrace the Venetian cuisine. And they go into a little bit about the wines, a little bit about the food, and not only that, but where to go get this wonderful cuisine. So those are some cool things. And then there's like a dish that I'm dying to try. I have not yet tried it, but it's a sweet and sour tuna. And I'm not going to say it in Italian because I don't exactly know how to pronounce it, but it's something that I'm looking forward to trying. Now, a couple different things. So the streets, as you know, are called calle. Now there are no streets. It's Venice. They're all waterways. However, the pedestrian walkways are called calle. Now, there's a little bit of a difference. Those calle along the Grand Canal are either called riva, R-I-V-A, or fondamenta. One of the two. So don't get confused if you see street signs that say either calle, riva, or fondamenta. It just depends on, it's just a walkway, still a walkway that could be used. And you'll notice on the corner of all of these different intersections that there will be signs that will always lead you back to St. Mark's Square or the Rialto Bridge, depending on where you're at in the city. Rialto Bridge to St. Mark's Square is not very far, so don't get concerned, don't get frustrated. You can always find your way back. Now, a couple of things. There are only three spots in the whole of Venice to cross the Grand Canal on foot. One is the Ponte degli Scalzi, which is the bridge very near the train station. There's the Rialto Bridge. In Rialto, translates specifically to high bank. That's what Rialto means in Italian. And then that is, I would think, kind of the cultural and the epicenter of Venice there. And you can argue with me if you think that I'm wrong, but I believe that it is. Then Ponte Accademia, which is the third crossing point on foot. Now, all three are fine. You're most likely going to only cross at the Rialto Bridge on foot. You can always cross anywhere throughout the whole of Venice on a water taxi or a gondola. And we'll get into some tips about how to best kind of manage those things. Now, throughout Venice, like most of the major cities of Italy, they have different neighborhoods. Well, In Venice, they are called sestieri. And I'll tell you what the name of the six are. There's San Marco, there's Castello, there's Canagrigio, there's Santa Croce, there's San Polo, and Dorso Duro. Each of them have their own different life and style, and I'm dying to talk to Ruth a little bit about how to bring the best of those to life, and what she thinks the most Venetian of those neighborhoods is. Now, I've got my own take, and I've got a kind of an interesting way, I think, to explore and enjoy and embrace Venice, because there are a couple things here, a couple tips. One, negotiate your gondola ride. Do not take at face value the offer that they give you on the first pass. They're assuming and expecting you're going to counter. So they're probably going to say 100 euro. Well, you need to know how long the ride is, and you can negotiate from there. So let's say you want an hour gondola ride, which is about fair, 30, 45 minutes, an hour, something like that. So, they might come at you with 100 euro, although the economy is a little bad, so it's hard to say. You don't know exactly what they'll offer. But when I was there, it was about 100 euro they started. I ended up getting it for 45 euro. Now, it'll depend on how busy it is, the time of year that it is, and how much work there is to have or to be had. So, it'll be flexible. It's not always going to be 45 bucks. It might be 80 euro. Who knows? But negotiate those rates. But be fair. I mean, they make a living doing this, but there's no reason they should make 100 euro for a 1 hour trip. Now they do have some downtime, and the gondolas in and of themselves are absolutely beautiful. So take care getting in and out. Try not to damage the boat. Use the rugs that they place for you to step on. Allow them to give you a hand. Some of them do sing, some of them do not sing. You can ask them to be polite. If you don't want them to sing, have them not sing. You just have to ask them to stop. The other thing too, I think I want you to understand the blade on the gondola. There is a reason that it looks the way that it does. It represents two things. One, the very top of it represents the hat or the cap that the Doge wears, the ruler of Venice, and then the six prongs that stick out represent the six sestieri, which are the neighborhoods of Venice. So there's always a rhyme and a reason. Traditionally speaking, they are covered with six layers of black lacquer, black paint, and they look beautiful. And the only other color are these little golden statues on the side where they put the little ropes, or like the barrier ropes from the seats that you'll sit in, with these wonderful, beautiful cushions. And you can bring wine. Most of them will only allow you to bring white wine, because if you spill inside the gondola, they have to get it repaired, takes them out of service for the day or two, and they're quite expensive. I believe I read somewhere, and I could be wrong, and if someone knows, please call in 888-GO-FOR-IT. They're about 100,000 euros a piece. They're very expensive to make. They are handmade. They're made right in Venice or very near Venice. There's a couple of different places that do it, and there's specific wood, and over 200 pieces of wood go in and to the handcrafted gondolas. So this is not only a career for the gondoliers, but it is a tradition, and it's a tradition that goes back hundreds and hundreds of years, thousands of years. So keep in mind what you're getting into here. It's probably one of the more romantic things that you'll do, in my opinion, in Venice, is take the gondola. So I highly recommend it. Now, I think the best way to visit the city is truly on foot. Now, you're going to take the gondola ride because you have to. You can get around the Grand Canal and see things in and around Venice by the water taxis. It's very cheap. They're affordable. It's just like taking a taxi anywhere, or rather a bus. So you can either do it individually with just a couple of people, or you can take the bigger boats, which is kind of mass transit, and you pay less. But it's tough to get a good seat in terms of sightseeing. So if you have to get down there early, you got to fight your way to the front of the boat so you can see within a view of both sides of the canal, just not one side. So those are a couple things that you'll have to do. And the way to get the places to get the best seats on those water taxis is to board them farther away from the Rialto Bridge as you can, because that, unfortunately, is where many people board, or by the train station. So you have to do some walking and try to board the taxi in a less populated area of Venice. This way you can get a better seat, and you can enjoy, and you can stand as long as you'd like. So don't feel that you have to get off at the end of the circuit. So that's a little tip from me on how to get a good seat. Now, a way to enjoy Venice by foot, which I think is the only way to do it, there are 16 major churches in Venice. Now, keep in mind, there are over 200 churches total. So Venice is not very large, so you can imagine 200 churches or more in Venice. A great way to enjoy this is to enjoy the 16 churches, which are called the Chorus of Churches. There is a pass for 9 euro. You can see it on doyouloveitaly.com/radioshow. Clicking on that will take you to the link to buy the pass. Now, are you going to be able to realistically cover 16 churches in one day? I don't think so. Now, I've I've been to Venice, and when I was there and enjoyed it before, it was only 13 churches, not 16. They've added three. Now, it was very, very hard to get through all 13. I can't imagine getting through 16. So my advice to you is this. Buy the pass. Buy the pass twice, back to back. You can buy it online, book your reservations. Now, when you do book the pass, you pick the church that you're going to start from. You have to go to the church that you picked to start from to pick up your reservation or your ticket. They're going to have it at their ticket office. You pick it up there, and off you go. You can enjoy all 16 churches. You can go in any order that you want. You do not have to wait in line. You just walk right in, show the pass, and you're good to go. Now, there's a map also on doyouliveitaly.com radio show. When you take a look at that, it plots out where the 16 churches are. I don't think that the chorus did a very good job of aligning them in terms of sequential order for walking. They've got you going. If you did it in order, you would literally be crossing your path and zigzagging a little bit, losing some optimum time. So take a look at the map, and you can reorganize things yourself to get the best out of your day. And in my opinion, that's a good way to go. And do it in 2 days, because if you do it in 2 days, it's €18. If you want to go see these 16 churches, which I highly recommend for their beautiful architecture, their artistic contributions from the artists we talked about earlier, Bellini, Titian, Carpaccio, and other wonderful, wonderful artists, these are the 16 churches to go see. It, by the way, it does not include St. Mark's, so you'll have to actually do 17 churches because you can't go to Venice and not go into St. Mark's. I want to talk a little bit about that on the back end of the show and some details about some specifics in the sites here. So those are the 16 churches. I'm not going to bore you by reading the 16 churches. Please go to doyouliveitaly.com radio show, and I've got a list of the churches with the maps and a link to buy the ticket. So it's something you should absolutely do. Also, I'm going to talk a little bit. I've got about 4 minutes here before we take a break. We're going to get Ruth on from Ciao Venice. So with that, I'm going to begin my discussions about a couple of the critical components of Venice, kind of the core, if you will, of visiting Venice outside of the course of churches. We've got St. Mark's, we've got the Campanile, we've got the Piazza San Marco, and then we got the Doge Palace. All of these sites are amazing. But there are a couple of things to look for to optimize your time. Now, if you're not really are hardcore into Byzantine architecture, you can go in and enjoy St. Mark's, the Basilica. Take a look at the over 43,000 square feet of mosaics, which are amazing. You can see it throughout the entire church. It's literally dripping with these mosaics. It's truly a sight to behold. So you'll go in. Also, you can actually see the remains of St. Mark. St. Mark was actually smuggled by people that worked for the Doge from Alexandria in a barrel of pickled pork, smuggled back to Venice, where his remains are today, at the Basilica of St. Mark. You can actually go to the altar and see where St. Mark is today. And he's under the marble green canopy. And you can also enjoy not only, you know, to see the remains of St. Mark, or at least the, you know, where he's held. The green canopy itself is beautiful, the baldacchino. And then there's a golden altarpiece, which is incredibly well designed with jewels and art done by the hand of masters for centuries. So, and they've all contributed to this over the years. So those are the main things. And the first floor, anyway, that I would recommend seeing. The treasury, the Venetian treasury, what they stole from Constantinople, the Venetians, what they stole. You can go see a lot of the ancient treasures from there. Right in the treasury, right outside of the altar, you're going to take a little right on the main floor. You can find it. There are signs everywhere to get in. It's worth seeing it. Now, from the main atrium, you're going to climb up to the Galleria, or the Museum of San Marco, and you're going to enjoy the wonderful horses that were stolen, surprise, surprise, from Constantinople. Now, those horses have a bit more of a story. They're arguably ancient Roman, and the Venetians took or have them now in Venice. They were brought to Constantinople. The Venetians took them from Constantinople, put them on St. Mark's. They're beautiful. Now, outside, there are replicas. Inside are the originals. You get right close to them, and they're a sight to behold. Napoleon came to Venice, and took the horses back with him to Paris. And after the fall of the French Empire, they were actually returned to Venice, so you can get up close and personal, and they're truly, truly worth a visit. Now, keep in mind, you have to wear appropriate clothing to get in. They will turn you around and not let you into the basilica if you're not wearing appropriate clothing, so beware. Now, we're going to take a little bit of a break. We're going to come back with Ruth Edenbaum of Ciao Venice. We're going to talk with her for 15, 20 minutes, and then we're going to continue our visit of Venice. Ciao.
Dreaming of renting a villa in Italy? Papavero Villa Rentals, your Italy experts, will make that dream come true. We specialize in Italy 100% of the time. It's our passion and we love what we do. We're experts on travel to Italy and we're here to help you plan the perfect trip. From the Italian Alps to the beaches of Sicily, we personally select each property to assure your comfort. We travel to Italy multiple times a year to inspect and revisit each property to assure your physical comfort as well. We thump the pillows, check the water pressure, and sleep in the beds. We know each property intimately and are happy to help you choose the one that best suits your desires. And we don't stop there. Our frequent trips to Italy enable us to arrange day tours and services, all pre-approved by us, so you can book with confidence. No matter what your dream may be, a stunning villa with staff on Lake Como, a country cottage in Tuscany, a chic apartment in Rome, or anything in between, trust your dream to Papavero Villa Rentals. Call us toll-free at 1-866-737-0000. That's 1-866-737-0000. Or visit us online at papaverorentals.com.